Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Congratulations. On behalf of the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, you are now a member of the Jedi Alliance. May the Force be with you. Always.
May the Force be with you, mofos.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk's Jedi Alliance, a celebration of the greatest saga ever told. I am Ken Napsok, a.k.a. Master Kenobi. And join me is very lively, toy-filled, fun, ready-to-have Maud Garrett, who is also... The young Padawan, Maud Garrett.
I will not be swayed, though. I've got a very exciting episode. What are we up to? Episode 20?
25.
25. That's a quarter century.
Yeah, it is.
Woo-wee! Doing it well. And we've been busy reading Tarkin. It's the new one by James Luceno that's come out. It's obviously talking about how Tarkin became Grand Moff of the galaxy, the Outer Rims. Look, I tried to read this bad boy. I did manage to make it past the halfway mark.
Did you not finish it?
No.
Nice.
Why? Video games.
That's all right. What, you were playing Force Unleashed or something? Or?
Not even Star Wars related. This one's called Heroes of Might and Magic 3, and it's just now been remastered for iPad, and it's so good.
Okay. Outstanding. Well, we don't have a guest today.
We don't.
It's just you and I hanging out in the Star Wars clubhouse.
That's the one. Sith pussy.
Oh. Bam, bam, bam. No, never mind.
Guys, this is an interactive and live show, so if you are watching on YouTube Live at the moment, make sure you say hi. We've got the computer down
there. That's right.
Ask us your questions. Put some stuff into perspective for us, because we're just going to be winging this show, basically.
Yeah, we're having a fun one today. We had some homework to get through. It was a busy weekend, watching the Super Bowl, or you doing whatever Australians in America do during Super Bowl.
Video games.
Yeah. So we got a lot to talk about. We got a fun Duel of Fates. We've got questions. You got some questions.
Yes.
And we're going to interact with the fans. We might even be taking calls, so stand by for that later in the show. We want to interact directly with you. Our 25th episode.
Runs with and Sith. 25th episode.
We have an update. Our previous guest, New York Times bestselling author, Madeline Rue, actually wrote, and I think some of you saw this on our Facebook page or Twitter feed. As promised, she wrote a short story, kind of a Sith Academy kind of short story that you and I have read. It's amazing.
It's so good, guys. So basically, it's something that we've discovered with all the Star Wars universe, and this is canonized now, is that we haven't really seen much of what goes on at the Jedi Academy. Like, that whole Padawan process is really kind of skimmed over. I mean, Ezra, for the first time, we're seeing that now, but it's in a really unconventional way because there is no academy. It's kind of learning on the fly.
Yeah.
So what Madeline has done, when we did kind of realize that there was this big lapse in the universe that we could be explored, we're thinking, why is it always so, I want to say black and white, but it's kind of like red and blue. Why is it so Sith, so bad, evil? You push people over and you laugh at them. Oh, good, amazing. Look at the light side of the Force kind of deal. So she's written up a character called Cecile, not Cecile, Cecile, and she's at the Sith Academy, but she isn't necessarily a bad person. So it's like Harry Potter, but for the Sith kind of side.
She's kind of maybe training to be like a Sith librarian or something in the Sith thing there, you don't know, and it is hilarious. And what we're going to, and fun, I'm reading the first Darth Bane book, and they do go there at the Sith Academy on Moraban now by canon. And I was thinking some of the stuff.
No, it's not called Moraban
anymore? No, it's Moraband. It's as shown in season 6 of the Clone Wars.
What happened to Moraban?
Lucas wanted it changed.
But I like Moraban.
A lot of people liked Moraban. A lot of people were nervous when Lucasfilm announced that Georgie wanted it changed. But now it's Moraban. Moraban maybe to someone or Coruscant. We don't know. But now it is canon. It is Moraban. But a lot of people, including Drew Karpyshyn, the author of the Darth Bane stuff, said, hey, you know what? That was thousands of years ago. Maybe the name of the planet changed. No worries. Move along, he said.
Then you can call me Morgan from now. Oh. Same, same, but different.
Morgan Gareth is here, my new heart. anyways, point being, I bring this up to say Maddie wrote this great story, and we have a range. We're going to get it soon. I can promo it now. Our good friend, our mutual friend, Roger Craig Smith, a very prominent video game voice actor,
yes,
has agreed to come
Ezio
in.
Ezio in the Assassin's Creed series, right? And Sonic.
And he had a turn at Batman. He is going to come here into the studio. We're going to be doing a live read of Madeline's short story.
It's so good.
So that hopefully maybe even as soon as next week. So I want you guys to get excited for that because the story is awesome.
Whoop, whoop. Now, if you are kind of listening to this going, oh, why are you talking about Tarkin? I haven't read it yet. Don't worry. This is going to be a pretty spoiler-free discussion. We're not going to go into big plot twists and turns. Just kind of get a good feel of the book. And we did ask you guys on the Facebook page to address your thoughts about what you thought of the book and give a bit of a spoiler-free review. So we're going to be reading out some of those as well. But before we get into it, let's get the news happening.
That's right. This is Renewed Hope, our weekly look at the week in Star Wars news with Queen Amidala.
When 900 years old you reach, look as good you are not.
Love it. Sorry, that is not how should go and address the council. You know, I'm a very serious person. Hello there,
Hello.
Master Kenobi. Hello, C3JTEPO. How are you? That's a tongue twister. Not as hard as Sith pussy, though. Alrighty. First in the news today. UK's Spotlight Agency have decided to update their clients' profiles who appear in The Force Awakens, thus outing them and their roles. If there's one thing that JJ likes to do with to keep it quiet on the
mystery
DL,
box,
you know, not announce anything unless he calls it and does it in a fashion that he wants to do. So, I mean, I can understand why this agency in the UK, Spotlight Agency, got very excited because some of their clients are in this movie, some of the actors that they represent.
Right.
They want to tell the world about it. So they updated their online profiles. They weren't even very subtle about it. A journalist did a little bit of poking around and was like, oh, wow, here's a list of six people that are now in The Force Awakens. Shall we meet them? Okay. Not too much of a spoiler here. It's not really going to, you know, get up in any plot lines or anything like that. So first of all, we've got Jessica Henwick. Now, her role hasn't been announced in this particular one, but watch this space because she's actually playing Nymeria Sands in Game of Thrones Season 5. She's going to be premiering in
the Sand Snakes.
She's one of them, yes. So that's going to be cool. Her geek cred is happening.
Yeah.
Sam Carr, he's got the same kind of chin as you do, a bottom on a chin. He's going to be playing a Padawan. You can kind of see, like, with that hair look, it makes sense. James McArdle, again, no, I've never heard of these people either, but he's going to be playing a guy called Xavier.
Xavier.
Yeah. So the fact that he actually gets a name.
Yeah.
Could this be someone of importance?
Oh, God. All this makes me wonder if, like, Luke's got a bunch of new students coming. I don't know.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Totally
a lot.
Guessing, but yeah.
Well, there's Padawans, there's Xavier.
Yeah. Sweet. Padawan Xavier, get me my coffee.
School for the Gifted, anyone? X-Men for the win. We've got Tom Bailey here playing a stormtrooper. He looks really happy, which is a shame because we'll probably never see his face.
That's right.
And then we've got Amy Beth Hargraves. Now, this is interesting because she's also playing a stormtrooper. I'm sorry, what? Yes, she.
Wait, what? Girls get the stormtrooper helmets now?
She's going to be playing a stormtrooper. We don't know if she's going to be one in her own, you know, outright, or if she's going to be a stand-in for Gwendolyn Christie. I did a little bit of a Google stalk with this news, and I found her online profile. She's 6 feet tall. Gwendolyn Christie's 6'3". So they're not exactly body doubles and they don't really look alike.
From a
so
distance.
Maybe.
Yeah. Or maybe, hey, maybe they just need tall women to be stormtroopers. I don't know why you weren't in there.
I don't know why.
Maybe that's, maybe, so maybe.
Why wasn't I a stormtrooper?
There's always episode 8.
I can't flip this table. I want to flip it.
But maybe we have no confirmation of what Christie's playing yet, and the speculation has always been, and the rumors have always been that she's a stormtrooper of some kind. And if this girl's also an additional female stormtrooper of a tall variety, maybe we got like a unit. Maybe it's like the 502.
Isn't she a little tall to be a stormtrooper?
Right. Oh. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
So
interesting.
There you go.
Interesting.
Again, no spoilers, so you don't get angry if this is wrecking your life. speaking of spoilers, news story number 2. Lucasfilm seeks legal action after... Oh, against Episode 7 photo leaker. So some bastard decided to see that photo of Kylo Ren with the saber sword and blast it all over the internet and upload it. Much to the dismay of JJ. Now, what did I say he loves doing? Keeping things under wraps.
Mystery box.
What's happening now? He's getting sued. That's right. So this is someone took a picture of the on-set costume here. Lucasfilm is officially going to be pressing charges. This is an excerpt from Courthouse News. The film company filed a subpoena request in federal court today against Image Shack under the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. Lucasfilm seeks information that will identify the user, Darth Simmy, who allegedly posted at least one unauthorized image to the Image Shack site on October 29 of last year. In the court filing, Lucasfilm refers to the leak image as Star Wars Episode 7 costume design and photograph, and it cites the link leading to a picture of a mask figure clad in black holding a red crossguard style lightsaber. Even though Lucasfilm did ask Image Shack to take down the image yesterday, it's a bit late. We've all seen it now. The whole trailer's come out. But, this person is going to get his ass handed to him, basically.
You have to be careful in this day and age. We all know in this business of what you grab, what you put out, and what you're fighting up against some of these big corporations. And make no mistake, that's what Lucasfilm, Disney, that's what they are. Giant corporations.
A lot of the time, though, with online things, there is no paper trails. And you can do everything so anonymously. But, yeah, I think they are focusing all of their Star Destroyers upon these people are wrecking it for everyone else. Story number three. It's time to get nice and slimy and fat. Jabba, you're up. Will we be seeing more hats in Force Awakens? Apparently so. So a long time ago, there was a concept drawing of Leia addressing not one, but several huts.
Oh.
Now, we know there's just more than one Jabba the Hutt. The Hutt is a race. We saw...
Gardula?
Yes, in the pod racing on Tatooine. Mm-hmm. And we know that Tatooine's known for being overrun by the Hutts, who were basically the crime lords.
Not their original location. They kind of moved in to take over. Oh, so.
Where are they originally from? Huttsville.
Hutt Town.
I just keep thinking Pizza Hut.
The city of Huttville.
Yeah, right.
It's all good.
Yeah. I've heard of that.
Yeah. It's near Topeka.
Paprika? Anyway, this concept drawing was initially, didn't know if they were getting it used. What it does tell us is that Leia is redeeming her diplomatic stance because she wasn't there against her will. She wasn't tied up. She was literally having like what looked like a negotiation.
Okay.
Now someone from the Latino Review has found out that they have been making practical huts.
Oh, yeah.
More than one.
Yeah.
So they are making the puppet, like the giant huts that we've seen.
With like seven people inside?
Exactly.
Did you ever see the documentary in the 80s from Star Wars to Jedi?
Yes.
And the little man,
and they're like...
the little guy in the tail was like, I moved this thing, and he goes, buck wasn't forward. And he's talking about the tail. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, so we're going to see more than one. And what he's saying is that there's been a leak with the new Star Wars spin-off, which is already going underway, that they are going to be reusing assets from Force Awakens.
A little bit of budget cuts.
So, well, it's like, hey, they're in that movie. They're already made. We'll use them for this one.
Yeah.
Someone's like, but they're in different time eras. It doesn't matter.
They'll slap some paint on them there.
Yeah.
Wow. I like that. That's some good news. Again, JJ doing a lot of this stuff with practical as much as he can. I mean, even the stuff, look at the Falcon in the teaser trailer. I know that is whether if there's anything practical in that shot, I'm sure maybe there is, but overall it's a
BB-8,
a special effects, but it looked great.
BB-8.
Yeah.
The fact that the
BB-8, the droid, the fact that it's practical is amazing. But
I still don't believe it.
You know, the trails coming out the Falcon and everything, that looks great.
Yeah.
So even, I bet it's going to be a great mixture. And the standalone, I was kind of amused too. I read some of the stories of the standalone. They're like, you want to use this set when we're done? Yeah, just slap a new symbol on it there. Yeah. And you can use those lights there too. Get that lightsaber and make it blue. Be good.
I'm in the sound department. I don't know.
Yeah. We talked about it a little bit on the Schmoes main show this week, and I think we mentioned it a little bit last week with the rumors that are still not fact.
Star Paws!
That's back?
Yes! Star Paws is just having a little comeback. I don't know.
It's just like a nostalgia tour.
Sorry to interrupt your sentence. It looked like you're really going down a path that I just cannot follow because I've called Star Paws. You ready for it? Okay.
Hit me.
Woohoo! Wow. Your time starts, and this is a clean slate, by the way, for everyone playing at home.
Okay.
Now, who did Luke urge with the line, come with me?
Princess Leia.
Not a good start, Kenny boy.
Wow.
That would be Darth Vader.
Wow.
Right,
okay.
Again, come with me. Anyway.
Wow.
What was located just above the Death Star's small thermal exhaust port?
Was right above it?
Okay. What was located just above the Death Star's small thermal exhaust port?
A gun turret. What's happening to me?
Main port.
Oh my gosh.
What did Luke believe to be his father's occupation during the Clone Wars?
He was
the
hardest
card. I'm so sorry.
He was a freighter pilot.
He was a navigator.
on a freighter. Oh my gosh. What's happening? What's happening? Oh, keep going.
Where was the second Death Star's energy shield projected from?
The moon of Endor, from the shield generator on the moon of Endor.
Yes, it does say Endor, but it is the moon. We know that. Yeah. Where did Uncle Owen want to put his new droids to work?
Oh, my. The South Ridge.
Yes.
Okay.
And the last one, what production designer of Star Wars went on to work for the first two Superman films? Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
The production designer?
Yep. What production designer of Star Wars went on to work on the first... I would never have got this.
It's not John Dykstra, is it?
You got the first word right. I'm throwing you a lifeline here. It is John. John who?
Boy, got me.
Barry.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
One from six.
I know, and I know Dykstra is more in the special effects set and created the Dykstra camera, but I don't know who the production... Wow.
Well, I mean, I did read through the cards because we had so many double ups.
There's been
time
a grave disturbance in the force.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Oh,
sorry.
Wow. I, you know, you.
That was a hard card. Maybe if you want to rip that one up.
No, your strategy paid off. You threw it on me. I wasn't expecting. I was going to talk about Tatiana Maslany.
Let's talk about Tatiana.
Maybe cast in the spinoff, but I had. Wow. You're a dark Jedi now. You're a Sith.
I like to think I'm gray. I actually noticed on Schmoville, and hi to everyone who's on Schmoville. I join in there too.
Yeah.
Tag me at Maud Garrett if you do want me to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
They labeled everyone who's a Jedi, who's a gray Jedi, and who's Sith. And like everyone was like, yeah, Maud's a gray Jedi. And I was like, guys know me.
You're
know
scandalous.
Me so well. I'm certainly not pure of heart.
No.
But I'm not all Sith.
No.
I'm gray.
You get misty-eyed pretty easily. You cry too much to be a Sith. I mean, in a good way. It means you got a heart.
I feel.
Yeah.
I feel love as well as passion and anger and hate.
But that probably means you might have some fun with a Sith. Wow. Sorry. I'm still I'm recovering emotionally. Not that I can't take the loss like a Seahawk fan or anything, but I just.
I get it because it's
sports ball. Wow. Sorry, I'm rusty.
Tatiana
Maslany, orphan black actress. I don't think it's 100% confirmed, but it looks like it's going to happen.
Yes.
Cast as possible one of the leads. Now, if the standalone movie ends up being about Boba
Fett.
Could
she be a Bothan?
Bothans? I think she'd have to be heavily. Bothans look a little different.
Yes, but she's kind of got that. Kind of
Both the nose.
Dog kind of like
Both the nose.
Cute look.
You're a pretty girl, but you got yourself a boffin nose.
Actually, reading Tarkin, I discovered the Zogarikans. What are they called?
There's a lot.
New species. I was looking them all up.
I'll tell you what. I, as a Star Wars fan and a Lord of the Rings fan and a Game of Thrones fan, I'm getting to the point where my brain cannot process all the different species and races and planets and lands. I don't know what's happening.
Aquilish? The
Aquilai, I don't know. I'm going to take the ring back to Westeros via Corellia. I don't know. My head is over exploding sometimes. That's the problem with all these new novels. And we'll talk about Tarkin here in a bit. There's things I'm like, I know who that is.
I had to have Google on standby. My Wikipedia.
Wikipedia is our friend.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on.
Yes.
That was a great news segment. I'm really excited about Abrams doing some Practical Hut stuff. That's really cool to me. And
it's getting hot in here.
It is getting hot in here. But we're going to move on to Forced On.
Do you get it? Because it's Jabba the Hutt. It's getting hot in
Hutt.
Here.
Oh, you like Star Wars puns.
I like them when they are acknowledged and laughed at.
Oh, boy. It's a Monday. Let's move on to Forced On. We're going to look this week. We're going to Force On Tarkin, the book by James Luceno. On to you. Now, of course, Luceno is very well known in the Star Wars universe, having written the little book Darth Plagueis, also book that followed Revenge of the Sith, Dark Lord, The Rise of Darth Vader, and then The Labyrinth of evil. He did not write the Sith novelization, if I'm correct. And he also he wrote a lot of other books. Also, to me, in my childhood, he is known, along with his late writing partner, Brian Daley, as the name Jack McKinney, who wrote all of the Robotech novelizations. I'm a big Robotech fan as well.
I wasn't born.
You might like it. We'll get you caught up on some Carl Masick version of the Macross story, the Americanized version. But that's what I grew up with, raced home from school. So James Luceno has a special place in my heart. I love his work. Doesn't always mean it's a home run, and I don't think Tarkin is a home run. I think it's a double that maybe scores three runs and clears the bases. Talking sports ball here.
Sports ball!
Sports ball! But let's dive on into it. I know you didn't get the chance to finish the book, but that's okay because we don't want to necessarily spoil it. But start with some of your thoughts on it.
Look, I definitely found myself highlighting a lot of key things in here. And what I do love about Tarkin is that not only do you get a sense of who he becomes, but where he started. And I think that that's a great thing, you know.
Yes.
This book is so great because it is an homage because you know his fate. You know where it all ends for him. So I love that we get to know where it all starts for him as well. Things that I liked about it is that there are nods to other particular areas. So I love that what I didn't get in A New Dawn were characters that I wanted to learn more about because it was a clean slate, new cast. Here, when Vader comes in, I am a giddy little girl.
Love that. I remember texting you early on going, Vader's in here.
Yeah. And I was like, thank you. And I love seeing their dynamic. And then also realizing that these guys fought side by side in the Clone Wars when it was Tarkin and Anakin.
Yes.
And the whole time it's Tarkin going, I swear that's Anakin. I know it's Lord Vader and he's not supposed to be, you know, a Sith, but I'm pretty sure he is, and that's a lightsaber, and wait a second, I'm putting two and two together, because Tarkin is not dumb.
Yeah, he is not dumb, and what you said is correct. That is some of the best stuff in here, is the Vader interaction with him. How does the man who, as Princess Leia says in A New Hope, you know, I expect to be finding you holding Vader's leash, or whatever the line is, sorry. Yeah. How does that man go from a Republic admiral to holding Vader's leash, and this book kind of explains it. And I got the geek chills when he's like, that guy, he sure as heck reminds me of Anakin. And then it goes into the story referencing the Clone Wars when Tarkin was held at the Citadel prison complex, and which is I think it's season four. I think season four of the Clone Wars, whole big arc there. That stuff. That's when the book was really firing on all cylinders, filling in the backstory to the universe we already know.
Well, that's what you can expect with this book. It does jump back and forth a lot. So it starts off at like the present day where the book is set, and then it'll go to his childhood, and then it'll go to the Clone Wars, and then it'll go to, you know, what Dooku was up to kick off the Clone Wars, and then it's the Emperor's point of view, and then the Emperor is kind of like delving into what he knows, and that's this like, whoa, you realize how much of a role the Emperor plays in everything on both sides.
He has foreseen it.
Exactly. So there are some really, really great parts in here. I felt a little bit left out because I'm not up to season four in the Clone Wars.
Right.
I feel Luceno did a great job in filling in the blanks without making you feel like you'd missed a big part, and not talking down either.
It didn't talk down, but yeah, that's a good point because it goes into the trial of Ahsoka Tano, which is end season five in the Clone Wars, and Tarkin was the one presiding over that in the case against Ahsoka.
Yeah.
So it references that a lot. Mm-hmm. I read another book review today on Tarkin and prepping for this, and it brought up a good point that some of the stuff seems... They said forced in. I don't agree with that completely.
Oh, pun.
Pun. Hey. But the stuff like Ahsoka, it said she's a great character that some still feels out of place outside of her own stories.
Right.
And there was a little bit of that when you're reading this. But I think that's somewhat mental because Tarkin, for us, is Peter Cushing in A New Hope.
Yeah.
And you can't imagine him in A New Hope going, I was the one who put Ahsoka out of the Jedi Alliance. Jedi
and it's a 2D
Council.
Cartoon character.
Yeah. A lot of different Star Wars canonized properties are clashing in this book, but I think it's good. Did you enjoy the backstory of Tarkin's youth? on his planet. I don't know how to say it.
I say Eridu.
Eridu, that's probably more correct.
Eridu. Something like
Eridu.
Look, yes, I did. It's a psychological build-up of who Tarkin is, understanding his home planet, understanding the relationship that he has with his parents, this recon mission that they have to do to become a man, you know?
Yes.
They flip back and forward. I think it's kind of like that's what slows down the book a little bit for me.
It was a device Lucina was using to try to explain his past and have it inform who he is and who he becomes. And I thought it was good, but at times the book comes a little disjointed.
Yes.
You're moving along with the story of the
pace.
The Carrion Spike, which is his personal ship, which is stolen by these kind of rebellious group of people. That's kind of the detective story that unfolds. It's maybe a little bit of a MacGuffin. So you don't get to spend as much time as maybe you wanted to in Tarkin's past, but it's kind of cool, not to spoil it, but the solution of that storyline, I was really excited. Like, it was really cool. It showed Tarkin's kind of ruthlessness mixed with his intelligence and how that factored in. But it jumped back and forth a little bit too much for me.
I agree. Yeah. It's like, and then we're going down there, and that reminded me of the time when I was on another planet.
Yeah, it was like,
Another thing I wanted to mention is we keep talking about how Vader and Tarkin worked side by side here, but I love the dynamic between the two. What I especially loved and found myself highlighting in my ebook were the Vader-esque quotes.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, you have failed me for the last time.
Yeah.
That's in there. Leave it with me. That's in there. And I'm like,
And I want to ask you then, because we criticized the Marvel Star Wars issue one a little bit because it put catchphrases in it that maybe took us out of the story. This one, for reasons I'm not quite sure, didn't take me out of the story.
No, it made him real again.
Yeah.
I could hear him saying it.
And I love those moments when Tarkin's trying to read Vader's face, but he can't
at all.
And so
honestly, it's so great reading it because it's like Tarkin will say something and then it's just like, he turned and looked at Tarkin and said nothing.
And said nothing.
And then walked away. And that's all he does all the time.
It was great to see, for me, it was great to see Tarkin, as a young man, knowing that he spent some time in the military. Then he kind of goes into government, which is kind of his family business, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Early visits from Sheev Palpatine.
This was the book that first announced his real name.
Yeah, which is interesting because Lucino in Plagueis is the one that makes a very, very sure point that Palpatine dumped his first name and didn't want to use it.
And now he's bringing it back. Now he brought it back.
Which I guess we can go into that now. Lucino, of course, writes Plagueis, which is a favorite around here. It's a favorite of Christian Harlow off on the Schmoes main show. You haven't read the book yet, I know.
I've got it.
Yeah, and I think you should. It's a similar type of book. It's deep political thriller, but it has a lot of great answers in it. But
I feel like political and thriller really can't go hand in hand with each other, but hey, let's...
Talk to Alicia Malone about that. She might convince you otherwise.
I want blasters, not
Lucino,
politics.
The question a lot of us had is will Lucino get to canonize Plagueis, the book?
Yes.
And in his own sort of way, he does. 114D, his droid, Plagueis' droid, which I know we have one of our fans up there in Jedi Alliance.
Swears it's R2.
Swears that it's R2-D2. I'm going to go to the page right now, excuse me, while I find that, so I can get his name. I know we mentioned it before. Shaylor Duranlu. Shaylor, how about that?
That sounds like his Jedi name.
It does sound like you belong in some kind of academy.
What is it? You're supposed to take the first three letters of your first name, then the last three letters of your last name, and then that makes your Jedi name.
Shaylor's got a theory. He says, no one's listened to my theory. We have, and we think it's pretty good. I don't know if I think it's right, but I think it's very good and well thought out. You can go to the Facebook page, Jedi Alliance, and find that out more. But 114D appears in there. A lot of stuff. So there's some stuff that shows up from Plagueis that's referenced. Other stories from Dark Lord, The Rise of Darth Vader. There's a mission he goes to a planet, Mercana.
That's even in the book, too.
And that's in the book.
Lord Vader.
That's in the book. But that's in the book, too. Vader, they go back to that planet and all that kind of stuff. So Lucino's kind of getting his stuff in maybe through the back door of canon.
Yeah. I've written it. I'm going to make this work.
Make it work.
Now that I have the power of the dark side
of the force.
He's going to make it happen.
So I liked all that.
Another part about Tarkin is how important it is for a captain to be with his ship. So we were talking about the current carry-on Spike and the importance of the name of the ship, all of the the facilities, what do I want to say, the build-up of the ship internally, externally, the weaponry that it has, the shields
it's
that it
has. It's a powerful ship.
The modern technology that it's got. It's one of the best in the biz, basically.
Yeah, and they steal it right out from Tarkin's nose, and that sets off this thing. And through this mission, you get to see how Tarkin became... He was already pretty high up. He was obviously on Palpatine's list of people to watch, which included Anakin.
They were on a first-name basis.
Also, interesting, right in the beginning, I will spoil this moment. Right in the beginning, one of the first things you get with Tarkin is him kind of changing and designing the uniform.
Yes, that he would first chapter.
That was for what I loved that.
Really?
I was totally into it. Because it shows that Tarkin manages things down to the little nitty gritty.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he's that thorough.
What I liked is that when they were set on this mission together by Sidious, they were like, all right, Vader, I want you to go with Tarkin. And Vader was like, you know, who's in charge here?
Yeah.
And the Emperor's like, I'll let you figure that out. I thought that
you
was
two
great.
Crazy kids, you figure that yourself.
Yeah, so that kind of explains their relationship as well.
Yeah. Now, again, we're saying a lot of things that we like, and I mean that, like, look at us. We're saying we like.
Ooh, there's something that I don't like.
Yeah.
I find when I was reading this book on a plane to Texas,
your first mistake.
It was a little bit early in the morning, and I just noticed that there was just, on my ebook, blocks and blocks and walls of text.
Yeah.
The way that the book's written, I found myself going back to read Game of Thrones, book 4.
Right.
Just to feel like I could breathe because there was spacing and shorter sentences in there. James, I just feel like his sentences are so long and it can be a little bit exhausting to read.
It was. Tarkin, I did not rip through Tarkin. Storm of Swords Dance of Dragons. I ripped through those 1,000-plus-page books. This one I struggled a little bit because, it's a little dense, and this is a slow-paced book at times. But a lot of the stuff brings me back. So definitely, I very much enjoyed this book. It gets my recommendation a lot more than A New Dawn did.
What you will get from here is if you're a fan of the original trilogy, you get to... It's like the extended series. It's like the chapters of the movie that you didn't get to watch, you get to read them now. I'd filled in a lot of blanks. I still have a lot of questions about how Senator Palpatine... how he became the Emperor by starting the Clone Wars and forming the Separatists.
Yeah.
So that, for me, is still a little hazy, and it did help me a lot with it. But every time I start to understand one thing, three more questions pop up.
Again, it's a little, the start of the Separatists and everything, and one I think, quite frankly, the reality is it just was underthought by Lucas a little bit, just like he needed. It was a little bit of a MacGuffin. In the expanded universe, they've explained it, including Plagueis. But that stuff doesn't count anymore, so you have to kind of piece it all together. Dooku is an interesting character. After leaving the Jedi Order, Sifo Dyas is a character that Lucas said in episode 3, because he brings him up in 2, I will explain it in 3. Didn't. It wasn't until this last year, season 6 of the Clone Wars, that Sifo Dyas comes back.
Yeah.
But he's in Plagueis, and he was a rebellious Jedi. But how much was Dooku driving it? There's a lot of questions, and I know a lot of you out there listening are going to pipe in with your theories, and we're going to get to that here in a bit and talk about it. It's an interesting thing.
So, yeah, if I can start a discussion on the Facebook page, guys, I'd really love to talk more about this so I can get my head around it. Basically, I texted you when I was reading the book yesterday, and I was just like, I still need clarity when it comes to Separatists. And you're like, how so? And I'm like, well, how was it formed? Why they became a huge problem, that the Order, the Jedi Order, had to contain the Separatists and stop them, and then where was Dooku's role in all of it?
Right.
And you were like, you know what, it's slightly confusing, partly because I don't believe Lucas had thought it out much. And I was like, totally, it was threadbare, and then it had to use the prequels to start 2 wars and have Palpatine rise to power.
Right.
So that's...
And Palpatine had to know that this was going to work, which again... You can write that off with he has all seen it.
But one thing I did notice in the books was the Emperor, when you do see his point of view, which you do from time to time, it's him in meditating and he's understanding like the Sith side of things and the Sith shrine, all of those things that we've never really seen before. And then it was like he was not only controlling Dooku and Dooku's separatist movement, but also trying to form key members of who will become the Empire. and he would test the others to see the loyalties.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought that was quite
mind-blowing. It's not a sports ball reference, but Billy Martin, when he was a manager, the late Billy Martin, used to pit players against each other. Baseball.
Oh.
Used to pit players against each other to test their loyalties to him or the team or the cause. Kind of crazy stuff, too. And Billy Martin and the Emperor are kind of the same in this thing. So this book had a lot of that.
Yes.
A lot of that. It was interesting because it's only 5 years after Order 66 and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
So the Republic is still transitioning into the Empire.
That's what Tarkin was reflecting on. He goes, it was only 5 years ago that Order 66 was taken out and that I saw, like, Anakin. And he goes, but that seems like a lifetime ago, even though it was 5 years.
Yeah, they're still in the phase where they're getting their new business cards.
Yes, that's true. One other thing that I quickly wanted to touch upon is when we are seeing this in the point of view of Tarkin and Vader, and it's like, you know, these guys are the bad guys. They're the bad guys. But when the rebellious movement or the little band of ragtags come in and steal the ship, you're like, any other book or any other point of view, I would be going for them. They've done a huge, great thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, who am I rooting for?
Well, that's it's interesting. It's you know, you coming from my background and my day job and some of the stuff, I view those guys, those rebels, are the bad guys. They're the ones killing innocent stormtroopers who are just showing up to work. So I like seeing the perspective of Tarkin and Vader hunting down these rebels.
Yeah.
These are the guys that are doing the bad things. But then you get the rebel point of view later on with the movies. So I don't know. But yeah, I love that point. It's fun.
Yeah.
I will say one thing. The story, you haven't got to it yet. The story kind of wraps up a little quick here. It seemed a little rushed. It just was like suddenly when things were really kicking, it was over.
Oh.
And it was solved. And
which is funny because when it happened in A New Dawn, I felt like that kind of closed quickly as well. I was so grateful.
Yeah, it's a bit of a different feel in this one. Just when I was like, it's over. Okay.
And nice then I quit.
Yeah. Oh. But overall, I really like this book. I think it's essential reading. One review, and I wish I could give them credit. I don't remember. One review I was reading, loved the book, kind of like us, loved the book, but there were some things about it or slow read or anything. And they suggested I would have rather just have had a fake biography of Tarkin. And that made a lot of interesting sense to me. Like if this was just a book, a biography of Teddy Roosevelt and a biography of Tarkin.
They actually mentioned in the book that Tarkin would keep a diary, a journal.
Tarkin had, a journal, maybe an autobiography.
Could have been excerpts. Another tip for everyone, if you don't want to read it, most people that I've been talking to about it have been listening to the audiobook.
A lot of people like to do that.
More often than not, audio. Yeah. So maybe give that one a go. I'm a speed reader, even though I didn't finish it in time. So I find that the talking is too slow. I'm like, and, come on. We put it to you guys to talk about what you thought of Tarkin. So here are a couple of reviews. We've got Sean Dawson, who said, you know what? It was just okay. Not the most engaging story ever written. I was certainly not on the edge of my seat at any point. There were some nice touches about its past, but there was no revelation that blew me away.
Brett Konsdorf says it's a good novel, but it's not an easy read, which you would agree with that.
Mm, yeah. Casey Key said, finished it a while ago on Audible. I liked it. I found aspects of how Tarkin was raised and how that shaped his perspective, Sith pussy, throughout his life very interesting. I also liked the insights into the relationship with Vader and how they worked together. Yes. The overall plot was okay and ties in well with the resistance against the Empire, but it's really the psychology behind the characters that made me truly enjoy the book.
Great point, Casey. And Andrew Slayton says, Lucino Strikes Back, man who brought us Darth Plagueis, did a great job. Book does such a good job of setting Tarkin's life up, his friendships. Vader, Palpatine also connects to the episodes of Clone Wars that he was in, like we mentioned. Awesome book about one of the most powerful men in Star Wars history, and he didn't even need the Force to make him awesome. And I think that's a great point, Andrew, is again, this shows the rise of outside of the Force-sensitive people at top of the Empire. This is the number three guy, I guess you could argue, but two technically if he was in charge of Vader, holding Vader's leash. So his rise and learning of Tarkin's rise is a very important part of the Star Wars story.
His take on Jedis as well is quite interesting. So when he was working for the Republic and the Jedis were sent in, he was just like, there was no, they were sloppy. They didn't have that kind of, that military outlook
background.
On it. Yeah.
So cool. Overall, I, as I said, highly recommend this book. It is a little slow and methodical, much like Tarkin himself.
Just words. Like if I read conglomerate one more time, I just feel like, I'm like, what? I'll get
there. So that is Forced on Tarkin by James Luceno. Definitely check it out. Star Pause.
Okay. Oh, wow. That felt weird. I haven't done this in so long. All right. I'm ready.
Oh, I've been waiting for you.
I'm ready. Hold on. I'm a little bit nervous.
Gosh, we haven't asked this one. Okay. Here we go. Let's see if you can, now you have your chance to defeat me because I was so flummoxed earlier.
I've got to beat one from six.
Who claimed to tell the truth from a certain point of view?
Who claimed to tell the truth from mm-hmm. Obi-Wan told the truth from a certain point of view.
Yeah, that's correct. What rebel weapon disabled an Imperial Star Destroyer during the Battle of Hoth?
What rebel weapon disabled the... What rebel weapon? That was the probe droid. That was the Imperial one.
Mm-hmm. So
who destroyed that? Who or what?
What rebel weapon disabled an Imperial Star Destroyer during the Battle of Hoth? Two fighters against a Star Destroyer?
Fighter? Did you just tell me the answer?
No.
Oh.
An ion cannon. Stand by, ion control.
Of course.
Who was the final rescuer to enter Jabba the Hutt's palace?
Luke. Oh, they're going to say C-3PO.
That's correct.
It is C-3?
Luke.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. The first, technically, would be Lando. Really? I mean, look about him.
Yeah, yep.
What shape are the Death Star's detention corridors?
The Death Star's detention? They're either hexagonal or octagonal.
I'm going to need an answer.
Octagon.
You're incorrect.
No.
Hexagonal.
No! Damn.
Octagon is the UFC. All right. Who is called a feisty little one?
Leia. Oh,
incorrect. R2-D2. You're a feisty little one. What was Luke's one-word reply to the Emperor's order, take your father's place at my side?
Never!
That's right.
Yes! How many was that?
You got...
I should have got R2. I said it straight away. I was like, Leia, R2.
Three. Wow.
This happens every time. I always beat you in the first round.
We're both a little rusty.
Rust bucket.
I think you and I need to sit down and watch the Star Wars trilogy original over again.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah, we need to take some notes.
Heavy.
I'm sure out there a lot of you are competing. So let's say...
they're saying, you guys suck.
You guys out there are like, you guys don't know what you're talking about. But that's right.
Duel of the Fates. It is time to pit two things up in the universe against each other.
And, Maud, could you tell me what happened last week in Duel of the Fates?
I'd love to. So last week, your topic, which was a little bit of a musical number for everyone, who was the better band? Was it Figrin Dan and the Modal Nodes?
That's right.
Or was it Max Rebo and the Rebo Band?
Sy Snoodles.
Sif pussy.
Can we get some whiskey here?
Anything.
Some blue milk.
I can't get my words happening. We know that... Figuring Dan and the Modal Nodes were bum 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 bum, and then Max Rebo was the blue elephant.
Lapping neck.
Oh wow, Psy. So the results are in at a whopping 80%. You guys like the Cantina Band?
What?
And only 20% took out Jabba the Hutt's monthly rotator house band.
The house? What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
So those loving Figrin Dan and the Modal Nodes, we've got Giovanni Torres, who said, when I'm hanging out and drinking at the bar, I want to be able to tell the guy next to me that I don't like him. So Figrin Dan's music is the...
Educated.
What is that?
Educated? Adjudicated.
I don't know. It looks like a
typo. I'm not that smart.
For the relaxed ambience, Max Rebo is more like a concert type music. So he likes the ambience of the Modal Nodes, just to kind of soften the blow.
Giovanni, I understand that point.
My friend doesn't like you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like you either.
Okay.
Luke A. Hobbs says, got to go with the Modal Nodes. Good classic blue milk drinking music.
Okay.
And Jackson Gavin says, Modal Nodes, they play jizz. I mean, come on.
As our guest last week, Frankie Kazarian said, they are jizz whalers.
Come on. There's a pun in there, too.
Yeah,
Clean it up, Lloyd. That's not cool.
Come on. There's some puns in there. Shane Clifford is on my side. Sy Snoodles and the Max Rebo Band, based solely on my girl, Sy Snoodles, actually got me my first shout-out from Ken on the show. Oh, it's a personal connection. So sentimental value. Also a part-time bounty hunter. She's a triple threat to go into the expanded universe stuff. She was good enough to perform to the notorious Jabba. I, again, still say that band just brings a lot of raucous fun, and if I got to live in that palace with the Hutts in Bib Fortuna, I want to have some fun and drink myself away every night.
I'd be like, hey, Modal Nodes, play the second Cantina song. Boop, 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 boop. Yeah, I'd be like,
all right,
good.
Interesting. Wow, that was a landslide. 80-20.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be closer.
No, not remotely.
Really? Wow. Yeah,
sorry.
I'm surprised. You guys out there surprising me. Mm. So this week's Duel of Fates, which of course will be...
She's gonna start crying.
This week's Duel of Fates, which will be, of course, posted on our Facebook page, and you can join the conversation at Jedi Alliance SK or join the conversation now live. This week's Duel of Fates is keeping in with the Tarkin theme. I'm going to ask you guys, what is the worst mistake? Tarkin, Grand Moff Tarkin, underestimating the rebellion in A New Hope and the first Death Star's destruction, or the Emperor's overconfidence in Return of the Jedi, leading to the second Death Star's destruction?
Which one is the bigger mistake all of Star Wars? These are the pinnacle point.
It's a big one.
As we were discussing off air, you were saying one of these, obviously Grand Moff Tarkin, underestimating the rebels. That's where all the problems for them started. That was the catalyst for the Empire's fall.
Yeah.
Whereas with the Empire being cocky, let's say, that's the official demise. That's when it, that's where it all collapsed and it was over once and for all. So is it the start of, like, the beginning of the end or the end of the end?
And the end of the end.
Or the end of the beginning.
Yeah. Your overconfidence is your weakness. Y'all faith in y'all friends is y'all's. One of my best favorite scenes in Jedi. I'll start this off. I'm going to go with Tarkin. Grand Moff Tarkin's mistake of underestimating the rebellion and their snub fighters. Sir, we analyzed their attack plan and there is a weakness. We should evacuate. In our time of trap, no. Boom, gone. He's dead. But
not just him. Everyone.
Now, had the rebellion, as we're learning now in books like A New Dawn and Tarkin and the show Rebels, had the rebellion been growing? Had they become a full-fledged army? Yeah. Did they have rank and structure and equipment? Had they probably striked before? Yeah, they stole the data plans, which we're probably going to learn in the standalone movie. Mm-hmm. All this stuff, but they had a chance to put the foot down on the neck and turn and squish and break it and end it all. And Tarkin underestimated these little pitiful little rebels, and boom, that gave them not only the victory they needed, the confidence they needed to eventually take down the Empire.
Was it a mistake? I think that was karma. I think that was instant karma for blowing up Alderaan. One planet for another, nearly moon-sized orbit of a space station. I'm going to have to go with the Emperor being cocky. He has been playing this game for so long. He's learnt from Plagueis invincibility. So I think he gets to a point where he started the Clone Wars. He's pit the, you know, Dooku up against the rebellion, and then and he's just sitting there laughing. He's got Vader, the best right-hand man he's ever had in his life. He's just sitting in this position where he goes, if I'll never make a mistake, they will, and I've already got a reserve plan to for someone to clean that up. He just feels that he's invincible.
Yeah.
So as soon as he hits this, you know, He thinks he's going to turn Luke Skywalker like he turned Vader.
Yeah.
It was easy for Vader.
And dispose of Vader, yeah. Have Luke do it for him.
And Luke wouldn't. And then he never foresaw Vader's love for Luke to resurface.
Right.
He never, you know, for some guy who's got all endless power of the dark side of the Force, couldn't predict that one because he was cocky and it cost him his life,
most likely, and it cost him for the most part. Yes, it may have gone on, expanded universe or not. It cost him his empire,
yeah,
a safe and secure society.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there you go. We're split on this one.
We're split.
Mm-hmm.
JT, I'd give you a vote, but you're going to say Bill Belichick. So I don't really know if you have that answer. That's what we're going to say. We're going to put this up on the Facebook page today, our Duel of Fates, which will be, again, for you to ask. Did Tarkin underestimate the rebellion or the Emperor's overconfidence? Which one was the worst decision for the Empire? We'll put that out there and we'll read the results next week. Oh, yes, we will.
Yes, we will. I'll be tallying those and getting the comments.
Absolutely.
So I think it's time to kind of, we did hit 1,000
We did.
Followers on Twitter.
We did. We crossed it today.
1,000. So to celebrate, we're going to open up those phone lines and get chatting with you guys.
You ready, JT? We got some time to do that? Yep. All right. 424-253-0504. 424-253-0504. We've had great luck with our fans before joining us and having some great conversation. Mm-hmm. Let's do that now. JT, do we have someone on the line?
We'll get you guys to ask your questions for us, but there's also a question that we've got given in on our Facebook page.
Oh, yeah, this
page.
Is awesome.
This is from Mark. I'm never going to get this. I apologize for butchering your last name. Mark Laviere. Laviere.
Sounds good. He sounds like a Jedi, too.
He sounds awesome. And he says, hey, maybe Mort and Ken should add an extra question in their questionnaire for guests. Here's my suggestion. What's your favorite sound in Star Wars? Mine would be the sound of a speeder bike on the forest moon of Endor. I'm surprised that no one thought of this, since Star Wars is so rich in terms of sounds. Big hello from Belgium, and keep up the great work.
I love that we have international listeners and viewers and followers. That makes me really happy. And Mark, that's a great one. I think we're going to add it in into the questions, and we'll put it to the fans.
We're going to ask you guys if you do call in. Have we got anyone calling in?
It's a little bit of delay.
Why doesn't anyone want us? Ow, it'll come flooding in. Yeah. Well,
let's kick it off.
Your favorite sound we all know, but one more time.
My favorite sound could be found in Attack of the Clones when Jango Fett puts those sonic depth charges into the meteors there to get rid of Obi-Wan Kenobi and makes that sound. Wow.
I like this one.
R2? Just R2 in general?
What an iconic sound. He is just sound. Him and Chewie. This is like when the common language is so few and far between and everyone speaks a galactic tongue.
Yeah.
The fact that there are no words, just noises to form an entire language, I'm about that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I was watching the Clone Wars Season 6, and there's some good stuff with Yoda and R2, and I was thinking, man, R2 sounds, they're so distinguishable. They're so him. Even in animation, in an animated form, he's R2, man. Mm. Like we now can almost understand his language.
Yeah.
We got a caller. All right, let's go with our first caller of the day. Off us, catch of the day. You are on Jedi Alliance. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm calling from, Florida.
Florida. What's your name?
Joseph.
Hi, Joseph.
Welcome. What do you want to talk about today on Jedi Alliance?
Well, I wanted to talk about who the main villain for episodes 7, 8, and 9 is.
Okay.
I had a discussion with my friends. I heard that in the Phantom Menace novelization that George Lucas actually talked to the author about the Sith history. And apparently what he talked to him was there was this character who formed the Sith was Darth Ruin. So the question I wanted to ask you guys was, do you think, if it's not Darth Plagueis, do you think if it's this character, Darth Ruin, or maybe because Disney's not using Lucas's vision, they're going to scrap that all together?
That's a great point. Yes, Lucas has said that he submitted a draft of what he thinks that this should be, and Disney went, ha, 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 no.
Yes, this whole Darth Ruin thing, it's not working now. Maybe we should use something.
There are so many non-canon great and like nemesis in there. I think that the fact that they've already leaked this Kylo Ren and you are soon to be Rilo Ken, as far as I'm concerned, I think that that's going to be the focus of it. This sort of like half cyborg picture that we've seen.
Yeah,
I think that's what they're going to stick with. I'm not entirely sure that they would go back so heavily on Lucas's work when they're trying to step away from him and Lucasfilm and expanded universe. That's my...
Yeah, I definitely think whoever the villain, the ultimate villain or the villains of the villains in 7, 8, 9, I think they're definitely going to tie to the history of the Sith. I'm sure we can see some Revan or Malak or Bane kind of references. Whether or not they're actually them, I don't know. I'm not hoping for Plagueis, but I'm hoping for a little bit more on him. I just don't think that's going to happen. Though Christian Harloff will have a heart attack if Andy Serkis is playing Plagueis. It's very possible, but I definitely think the villain will tie into things we already know. I just don't think he'll be someone we already know.
Well, not even the Inquisition or anything like that?
The Inquisitor or anything like that?
Yeah, sorry, I've been playing Dragon Age
too
much.
No one inspects the Sith Inquisition. No, not necessarily.
Okay.
I think maybe there could be Inquisitors, but not the Inquisitor.
Hey, Joseph, favorite Star Wars sound?
Favorite Star Wars what?
Star Wars sound. a sound that you hear in Star Wars that makes you want to cry nerd tears.
I know, like, for there's like different variations of the lightsaber sound. So my favorite lightsaber sound would be that crackling sound when Vader ignited his lightsaber.
I like that sound. The Vader sound of the lightsaber. Thank you, Joseph, for your call.
Why did you guys give me this? Why would you give this to me? Seriously.
All right, JT, giving me a thumbs up. When we got someone else here, we're going to start wrapping up. We love taking the calls. I'm looking at the YouTube chat boards.
What's
and a lot of people from a lot of different countries.
I love it.
We got a lot of Belgium. We got Indonesia. We got Delaware, which is pretty much a foreign country.
Delaware.
We're here in Delaware, Wayne's World. 424-253-0504. We do have a caller now. Welcome to Jedi Line. State your name, your planet, and what you want to talk about.
Oh, g'day. It's Isaac. I'm from Adelaide.
Yes!
I'm just sitting at work listening to you, watching you guys on
Adelaide!
While I do nothing at all.
Hey, Isaac. Great to finally hear your voice. Listen, tell everyone it's called Radelaide. Make Australia sound good. Radelaide.
Yeah, well, you know, people struggle with geography as it is, but yes, Adelaide is known as Radelaide because it is a great place to live.
What's your question for us today on the show?
I just had a question for you guys. If you had a chance to be a part of the Star Wars universe in the way of the movies, if you had the opportunity to be in them or just have a say in what you would change... Sorry, not change, but add to the universe in maybe just a rumor that you liked or a tie-in of characters' stories that you would like to put together. What would be your mark on the Star Wars universe?
Bothans. I want to see some goddamn Bothans. Seriously, they sacrificed so much, and they are like the crux of why the Death Star got blown up. But we didn't see any.
Yeah.
I'm not even in the background of the cantina, I don't think.
It might be, but yeah.
I'd like to be a Twi'lek dancer, though. Like, if I was cast in it.
You could do that.
I could be a Twi'lek groupie or something.
That's a great question.
Or a female stormtrooper.
A female, which I think you could fit, you know?
Boom! Can't hit anything! Oh,
maybe
yes.
They would, though. You know what I would like to see a little bit more of, and I know there's probably stuff out there available, but I'm something more in the mainstream. I'd like to see a little bit more with the 501st. Vader's Fist. I know we really first see them in Revenge of the Sith. And it's a great story. If you read How Star Wars Conquered the Universe, it is a fan story of a group of fans growing up or turning something into canon and getting it into the face of Lucas. So I'd love to see them prominent in some kind of facet of the movie, standalone or otherwise.
The 501st are coming in, I repeat. The 501st.
Right. That'd be great. Yeah, good question. And to finish things off, what's your favorite Star Wars sound, Isaac?
I can't get over or past anything more than just the sound of a lightsaber starting up. It gets me every time.
We got two of that. It is a very exciting sound.
Yeah, I think it's the iconic Star Wars sound. If you could surmise it with one noise,
mm-hmm.
It would be...
Yeah. I would agree.
Fantastic. Thanks for the chat, Isaac. Get back to work!
Yeah, right. I want that.
Great.
Outstanding. All right. We got time for one more call, JT. All right.
Yay.
We got a caller on the line. Welcome to Jedi Alliance. State your name. State your planet. State your purpose. Hello. You're on Jedi Alliance. Who you got? They hung up.
Hung up.
Oh, sorry.
They got shy.
I was looking at JT's baseball signals there. He was telling me to hit and run. That was take a second. 424-253-0504. We got time for one more call here before we have to sign out on the day.
Are they writing anything in the chat or tweeting to us at Maud Garrett, at Ken Napsok? We got one? Oh, hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Welcome to Jedi Alliance. State your name, state your planet, state your purpose.
I like that.
Hi, my name's David.
Hi, David. Where are you from?
I'm from Dagobah right now. I'm ditching training with Yoda.
Whoa, thank you so much for
taking How is
time
that
out.
Broth tasting in those little wooden bowls?
Yep.
What you got today?
I want to know if y'all could make any book or any video game that is currently not canon in the Star Wars universe, what would it be?
Is this something that's previously existed or something of our own?
Anything.
So something that hasn't, that's not canon, that would
be... That's not canon now, yep, that you would like to make canon.
Make canon.
I'm going to say Knights of the Old Republic only because it's my, the one that I, the game that I played recently, and I love the dynamic between Malak and Revan, like that whole twist and that spin. I think that's a great story that can be really kind of relished. Saying that though, Mara Jade, I think we've skipped that. I think that in this point of canon, because of how old Mark Hamill is now, the fact that he's had this whole relationship with Mara, that's kind of, we've run out kind of time.
Gone, right.
We've missed the opportunity, and I think that that's a crying shame.
I would like to see, and we're talking about making something into a video game.
Is it into a video, or is it, it could be.
Could be.
A video,
the, right, the was canon. That the question?
It's whether, if there is a current book or current video game that you would like to be canon.
Yeah.
Good question, by the way. I was, like that.
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, the Old Republic stuff, you're sticking with that. I was going to say Mara Jade as well.
Yeah.
Some sort of form of it, and maybe it comes out in episode 7 that there's some kind of form of the character. I don't know, but I would like to see... I mean, there's still space. You could, there's some novel could officially fill it in now. We could go back. Maybe they'll give Tim Zahn another chance to write Mara Jade. And maybe in episode 7, Luke will be like, I disappeared because I broke up with this girl, man. Who's the girl? Her name's Mara. Maybe they go back and fill that in.
Maybe part of her.
But it was such an intriguing character and a universe that still very much needs to be sure that it has strong female characters out there. That's a character that I'd hate to lose.
Totally. Yeah. I think it would be a crying shame if we never heard of Mara again. And that whole relationship was vamoose.
Right.
Hey, what's your favorite Star Wars sound, by the way?
Wow!
Oh, yes! That was so cute! Is that because he just got spat out by a swamp monster there on Dagobah? It's happening as you speak. Yeah.
Outstanding. Thank you so much for calling in from Dagobah.
All right, thank you so much. Love y'all.
The phone connection is pretty good there on that Dagobah. All right, I think we're close to wrapping it up here. This has been an interesting and informative and spirited Jedi Alliance. I like it sometimes when just you and I get to talk. I love our guests, but I like when you and I just get to geek out about Star Wars.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's a good thing.
It's good.
Oh, you don't.
I kicked your ass in Star Wars, motherfucker.
Yeah, we're going to have to recover from that. I'm going to have to work on that.
Hey, guys, make sure you do subscribe to us. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just search Jedi Alliance or at Jedi Alliance SK. Give us a like, give us a follow. Subscribe on the
Popcorn Talk.
Yep.
YouTube.com/popcorn talk.
My mouth.
Next week, we'll update you on the guest. It might be Roger Craig Smith doing that story with Maddie Rue. But the week after that, we got Joseph Scrimshaw and Mike Black returning. We are going to do an entire episode on...
Toys,
glorious toys. Oh, wait, excuse me. That is in 3 weeks. Sorry. Oh, I got my dates confused up. February 23rd. We've got the action figures. Get ready for that. Scrimshaw, Black, Garrett, Knapsack. Talking action figures.
iTunes, if you are listening, make sure you rate, review, subscribe on that because we've slipped off the list and by done it, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah. But check out the other shows on the Popcorn Talk Network profiles. Guilty Movie Pleasures, Box Office Breakdown, Meet the Movie Press, Marvel Movie News, DC Movie News, and the Schmoes No Main Show live every Thursday, 6 p.m. PST on the Schmozno Podcast YouTube channel. As Mod said, iTunes, rate and review, subscribe.
Please.
And if there's some issues with it, just resubscribe. That is what has worked for us.
I've had to do it.
Hopefully it'll work for you. If you have stuff and problems, contact iTunes because we've done everything we can do on this end.
Thank you so much for listening because Celestians still make my skin crawl.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit PopcornTalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.